Alright, hey everybody, welcome to episode X of Music to Swear By. Very special episode because I'm in the woods tonight, and I'm with Neighbor Dave. Neighbor Dave, where are we?
We are at the Sand Dunes State Forest Campground in Minnesota.
Yeah, which I think is pretty spectacular. We got a bug up our butt. We decided to take the kids camping this afternoon or tonight. We rolled into Sand Dunes State Park. We brought a laptop and the snowball microphone, and we are podcasting literally in the middle of the woods.
We got a nice fire here to our right, and we got the old snowball set up on the cooler.
I feel kind of weird being out of the glory hole, though.
Dude, it's pretty nice, man.
What are you drinking there, Dave?
I have a Beck's Dark.
I'm drinking Budweiser's new, what do they call this? The Chelada. You can't beat certified color. I mean, that's really what sold me on this this Budweiser Clamato mix. And actually, I'm pretty much enjoying it. So yeah, Neighbor Dave and I are out in the woods. Neighbor Brett and the whole other gang are either back home. Actually, Neighbor Brett is in North Carolina right now for a family reunion.
So we put a call in to Brett, and he will hopefully call in, and we'll try to get him on the phone for the podcast. But
yeah, Brett, if you're listening,
shot in the dark.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. So anyways, Dave, what anything interesting happened to you this week?
Not a lot. I just kind of had a revelation that I've seen kind of a lot of good movies lately. And I was at one movie called Ponyo.
What? I haven't even
just
heard of that.
It's this trippy, like, Japanese cartoon for kids.
Okay.
You know, the review said that this will be your kid's new favorite movie, and if you still smoke pot, this will be an adult's favorite movie. In fact, I'm finishing the movie and the credits are rolling and my phone rings.
Yes.
My phone rings and it's Tony. And Tony says, "Hey man, you want to go to Mung Cock?"
Shut up. Whatever.
That's right. Exactly what you said, man.
Yeah, it's can you
so
sing?
tell me all about Mung Cock, because I didn't go. I was busy.
The first place I heard of Mung Cock was in about eighth grade, and it was in a song. One night in Mung Cock makes the hard man humble. Maybe that's the wrong Mung Cock. No, Mung Cock is a restaurant that's in the ballpark of our neighborhood, and I say the very loose ballpark of our neighborhood, but
hey, anytime you can say the word Mung Cock, it's a good thing, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. It's we pick up pizza. Dave, you and I have actually picked up pizza over there at the whatever that is.
Yeah, it's Donnelly's.
Donnelly's, yes. Yep. And so I decided to try the Mung Cock restaurant, and so we go to Mung Cock, and it was literally, it was your typical, actually it was smaller. It was sort of a grease kitchen with about 12 booths set out, and nobody was in there. We wandered into Mung Cock and took a view at the gander at the menu, ordered some egg rolls and some cheese puffs and some hot sour soup and some stuff like that. And this guy wanders in, it was like the chef was in the back. You could hear him like, I don't know, hacking and coughing, you know, which is kind of, you know, when the swine
not
flu,
a good sign
yeah, when the swine flu is going around in August, you know, it's a bad sign when your cook is hacking and coughing back there. And instantly my kids are digging underneath the table, pulling out wads of gum saying, "Look what I found." So yeah, lovely wife Becca is not even going to eat at this place.
She's probably freaked out by now, right?
She's already decided that, yeah, the white rice is all she's going to have. So we order a bunch of food, and this guy wanders in, and he is the, like, if you've ever seen episode 2, where, like, in stuff Star Wars, Obi-Wan has a dart, a Geonosian death dart, that he wants to find out where it came from, so he goes to some shitty diner. You remember this, David?
I do remember, and he talked to some big fat guy.
Yeah, right? like what's his name? Sam's Diner or something?
Yeah.
Like that. I don't know what it is. Yeah. So
and the waitresses are on roller skates and
exactly,
shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember
it.
That.
So he goes, and this guy is a living representation of that guy. And he's like 7 feet tall. He's got a belly that sticks out 3 meters in front of him. He's got a dirty T-shirt that he wipes his hand and his face on, and this guy's disgusting. And
his ass crack showing like the guy in Star Wars?
Okay, I'm not shitting you. Absolutely, his ass crack was showing. His ass crack actually walked in the door and announced that he was going to be there in a minute or two. So no, this guy walks into the front door, and the first thing he says is, which instantly makes me think he's related to the chef. But no, he's this big white guy with the scraggly white hair. He sits down, and he starts asking the waitress. No, I'm good. He asks the waitress, how much is a fried rice? And she tells him, because she apparently knows the... And we're the only two people in this joint. It's my family of four and this guy who... What should we call him? Dr. Dirtbag?
The guy who walked in?
Yeah. You got a name for him?
Jabba.
Jabba. Okay, so Jabba. Yo, that's a good one. I like that. So Jabba walks in. He asks, how much is the fried rice? And the lady tells him it's $5.95 for the this serving. And he goes, how much for a quarter serving? Which is an odd question in the first place. You know, your clientele normally shouldn't be asking that. She says, well, I don't know if we do that, sir. And he says, I have $2. How much can I get for $2?
Dude, have you ever seen I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker?
No, I've never seen I'm Gonna Get You,
it's
Sucker.
It's kind of a black comedy, like, I don't know, I've 70s or early 80s or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the first thing I've ever seen Chris Rock in.
Okay.
He comes into a restaurant. It's like a pizza place. Basically said, can I get a piece of pizza?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, that's $5. Well, can I get like a bite of a pizza?
Because I only have 50 cents, right?
And that's and eventually he talks the guy into like having like a bite of a pizza or something like that.
Yep, that's this guy right here. Jabba was pulling that
and
gag.
And then Chris Rock said, can I have a soda, right? And it's 30 cents.
Right.
Well, I only got a nickel. How about you just pour something in my hand?
Yeah, that's uncanny. This guy must have been playing that gag.
It's like it's out of the movie.
Dude, get this. Yeah, here's this. So what he does is he says that, and the lady says, okay, for you, anything. You know, she just kind of wanted to be rid of Jabba. So she brings out a small bowl of fried rice for $2, which actually I thought was pretty generous. It was bigger than the serving I got. And so while we're eating, I can hear this guy. And you ever hear somebody eat who actually chews their spoon? Like, I can hear him slurping and chewing his spoon, like biting it as he's eating.
So this guy sat down and ate?
Oh, yeah, he sat down and ate for sure. Oh, he sat down like a connoisseur. Like, he leaned back in his chair, put his arms out a bit, perused the menu. And okay, first of all, you don't peruse the menu and then negotiate a $2, you know, bowl of rice. And then he says, he scarfs down this rice, and I don't know, maybe he was homeless. I don't know. I should probably be feeling a little bad for him. But no, he drove a right. Datsun. Oh, wait. Anybody who's driving a Datsun is homeless. Anyways, because, yeah, oh, I didn't even think Datsuns were around anymore. Okay, so anyways.
Okay, so after he's not homeless. He lives in a Datsun.
He lives in his Datsun.
Right.
So after he finishes his fried rice, he starts saying, how much is that soup that guy's got over there? And she goes, well, that's $2.95 a bowl. And he goes, how much can I get for $1.95? And I'm thinking to myself, all right.
$1.95.
Right. If you had $2 plus $1.95, that was enough to pay full price for the rice. If I were this waitress, I would have said, you can have no soup, but I'll take full price for that fried rice, you asshole.
We need to queue up a song here, man. It's coming up.
All right, who wants to go first, you or me?
I think you should go first this time. All right.
On a quick, you know, I quick ripped a CD and dumped it into Dave's computer before we left for the, you know, the up north, what are we, Sand Dunes State Park today. And I quick threw on there the Super Suckers, who are, both in my opinion and their own opinion, they're the greatest rock and roll band of all time.
Your favorite band?
They're my favorite band of all time. Yep. So this song is I actually got this on their greatest hits album, which is called "How the Super Suckers Became the Greatest Rock and Roll Band of All Time," and it's 30 some songs.
What's the song name?
It's called Beat to Shit. It's got plenty of swearing in it. So you know, hey Luke and all you other assholes, and actually, especially Bishop and. I'm just gonna give a shout out to Bishop and Dave. You can edit this out if you want to. This song describes Mr. Bishop when I first met him. Super Suckers, Beat to Shit.
Nice.
The car I drive, beat to shit, the road I ride.
That nice is song. That's the Super Suckers with 11 shits.
Yeah, but you're raising the level of the swear words.
I'm kicking
you're
it up.
It.
But admittedly, that's a good song. I mean, that's not. Oh, yeah. Brett played She Effin' Hates Me.
Right, but this is a good song that had some swear words.
Ooh.
11 swear words.
Super Suckers are described as like a beer and. Well, actually, they run the gamut. I mean, someday in the future, I plan on doing an entire Super Suckers episode if I can suck you guys into these guys. But it's beer-infused rock and roll. That's all it is. And to me, I like music with a 1-2 fuck you sort of, you know, sort of a driving sort of, what do you call it, like a locomotive engine.
Right.
I don't know. The Super Suckers fulfill that in me. So yeah, that's what I got. Do you think the crickets are picking up?
I don't know.
All right, everybody, hold on. Listen for the crickets.
Oh, yeah.
I think they will pick up on the microphone. This is effing awesome. So what'd you bring tonight, Dave? What do you got?
A Sublime song called Smoke Two Joints.
Wait a minute. Sublime has one song. It's called Sangria.
Come on, man.
Sorry, that was a bit of a rip.
But their famous song is, what is their famous song? What I Got. That's the big one. That is the big one.
I ain't got no Santeria. That's okay. That's what I'm thinking. Never mind.
They got a lot of good songs.
Okay,
right?
So they've got a handful of. Okay.
They got What I Got as the super, super crazy radio.
That's the
hit,
one that
right?
got beat over the head on the radio.
Right. I put on the CD that had just tons of MP3s on it, and we started cleaning our house with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it played for like 5 hours.
What?
This
did?
One CD. It just. All it had was MP3s on
like
it.
Like over.
Five
oh,
hours
okay.
and no repeat songs.
Wow.
It was awesome.
So that's what turned you on to this afternoon's song.
Right. And. But it was What I Got. It was the big famous song was on that CD.
Okay.
And forgotten about how much I like that song. Oh, shit. I got a phone call. Hold on a sec. Is it Brett?
Radio edit. Wait a minute. Is that...
Hello? Brett. Yeah.
Brett.
Hold on 1 second. I'm going to try to put you on speakerphone.
Ask him which Carolina he's in. Holy shit.
Okay, Brett, are you there?
I am here.
Yeah.
Set him down next to the microphone.
Brett, you are on the podcast.
Oh, brilliant. All right.
So which Carolina are you in?
I'm in the northern sector.
Well, at least it's not Debbie Carolina.
No, it's just way out of NASCARville. so I flew into NASCARville, but now I'm kind of in the ritzy little privileged Outer Banks area. And this is my last night here. And
so we'll see.
Bill is on its way. We've been pounded by it the last 24 hours.
You know, I heard and about Hurricane Bill on the Today Show.
Well, Bill's out and about, and I'm now wandering the streets of our development. Pretty intoxicated, just going down to the pool, checking shit out.
Well, hey, there's nothing better than walking around in a hurricane intoxicated. Unless that is, of course, you're naked, which give you half an hour, you'll be doing that, right?
There has been some toxic weeks about being naked, but since I'm here with 23 of my family members, it's squashed, which that should be the case.
Oh, yeah, because you and 23 yeah, family members all walk around naked, right?
Yeah, it's a family thing, but, you know, yeah, the pool, yeah, I kind of want to go swimming there right now, but I'm just here to help my friend Tony out, and how can I help either of you out right now? I'm on a lifeline, what's going on?
Well, hey, wait, give us a, Well, I can see you haven't changed a bit on the East Coast. Give us a live account. What's that hurricane doing out there?
Well, I mean, it's been pretty quiet, but for the last 24 hours, you know, you can't go on the beach. You got the red flags out, no swimming.
Why can't you go swimming when a red flag is out?
Dude, the rip currents, the rip tides they're pretty strong, pretty incredible. The waves come in, they can pull you out, you're gone. So
Brett, maybe you can help us with a discussion we're having about music.
Yeah?
We're talking about how, like, certain bands get super popular, And so the super popular music from that band gets kind of discounted.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was going to go there with Sublime for sure.
We were talking about what I got from Sublime.
Sublime, you can't really go there because Shannon Hoon died too early. So if he wouldn't have died, give him about any ballpark losses, then they would have been kind of overproduced.
We'll see. That's what Dave was set to cue up a Sublime song, and I instantly started ripping him because I only knew one Sublime song. But Dave is, well, Dave, what are you thinking on this one?
Oh, shit, I had a bug crawling up my arm. Well, I think about it like with Red Hot Chili Peppers. Most people, even like music snobs, are like cool with Red Hot Chili Peppers, but they'll like say anything before Blood, Sugar, Sex, Magic, right?
Right.
But that album, Blood, Sugar, Sex, Magic, was popular because it was fucking good. It was their only album that was listenable start to finish.
Oh, no.
Mother's Milk.
Party Plan was so much better.
Yeah, see?
Brett, wow.
Yeah.
Uplift Mofo Party Plan. If you guys can't understand him, Brett just said Uplift Mofo Party Plan was a good album.
Right.
And if you listen to the whole Blood, Sex, Gears, Wax, whatever thing.
Here's what.
It's totally, I don't know, it's orchestrated, what I call, like, studio rock.
Yeah,
there's some good shit on there, but it's just like the Cult after they came off of Electric and they went into Sonic Temple, and Sonic Temple is a good album, but it's, like, totally orchestrated studio rock.
Name
is Use Your Illusion.
Okay.
Name was GNR.
Good call.
Right.
So, wait a minute. What's that, the Under the Bridge song? What album was that on?
That was on the Blood Sugar Sex Magic. Yep. That sinks the whole album, doesn't it?
Okay, yeah. So, because I have heard no other song off that album except for that song.
Okay, no, but if you only heard that song once, would you think it was kind of different? Or would you think it sucked ass?
Okay, if I had heard that song as the single and sole only Chili Peppers song ever, I wouldn't care about that band whatsoever. And I mean, I've got the Chili Peppers back to the George Clinton years when George Clinton worked with them and they played some serious funk. And those albums they're interesting, but they're not, you know, they're not hits beginning to end like the two killer albums were, the Mofo album Mother's Milk. Yep. Yeah. And some would argue that those are overproduced, but see, Under the Bridge killed me. It totally slayed me. Just like all that right. Green Day crap that they're doing with the singing to the soldiers and all that shit.
But though, you know what? It goes both ways. I didn't get into U2 until Joshua Tree. People who are U2 purists say Joshua Tree killed U2. I couldn't stand what they did before, and then after Joshua Tree, I loved them. So you could go either way. You know, I mean, I can, with you two, I consider myself jumping on the bandwagon, where, you know, with like Red Hot Chili Peppers, I got introduced to them early from some of my older brother skater friends, and then once, you know, they moved beyond Mofo, I was just like, oh, I don't like it anymore. So, I think I'm going to get, like, torched out here of liking. But,
really?
Anyway, so it's where you come into it.
You know, yeah, what you're saying is, you've got the two opposite opinions there, is that the Chili Peppers, once they hit big, you jumped off and you said, hey, I'm way too cool for these guys.
Exactly, and that was like my brother and all his friends with you too, you know, once they went to Joshua Tree, they're like, oh, this is cool shit, and then all of a sudden they're like,
Once you two get super popular with Joshua Tree, then you guys jump on the bandwagon. So apparently,
well, I did.
Rock and roll is all about.
You know, it all goes back to eighth grade. You got the hot chick. You know, everybody's about you. Like, oh,
here he goes.
Then you go back to the new girl who moves into town and stuff. You're like, well, damn, she's really hot and shit. So it depends where you hop on the bandwagon. And, you know, just for the friends out there in the podcast, I did watch Mean Girls for the first time last night, so I'm kind of relating everything to Mean Girls because it is a guy's, I guess, eighth grade, like, Foundation.
That's one of the gayest things I've ever heard, Brett.
Well, you know what? I don't know, in the Northland, like, huddling in a tent, you can do whatever gay thing you want. And I'm walking around North Carolina, checking out some shit, looking at some chicks, going, hey, what's up, you know?
That's awesome. Hey, while you're down there, make sure you get one of those t-shirts that says, I went all the way to North Carolina and all I did was watch Mean Girls. Get one of those shirts for me, please.
No, no, I think you can. I went all the way out to, Healy and Saga Lute.
All right, so hey.
You can get one of those shirts for me.
All right, Brett, we're cutting you off. We're going to play Dave's, his, what do you got, Sublime again? Two Riffs to the Moon?
It's either going to be Smoke Two Joints. Or we're gonna go back to my mind is playing tricks on me.
All right.
If you want some more swear words, that's the song.
It's your call, actually. Let's all right, hey, let's sign off with Brett. Brett.
Well, wait a second. What the hell am I supposed to do? Can I go to bed?
Yeah, you can go to bed now since you're on Eastern time, so
No, Brett, you can't go to bed. You gotta take all your clothes off and jump in the fucking ocean.
Dude, if I did that, you'd read about me in the paper. Although I will take all my clothes off.
Okay, that's a good deal. That's a good compromise. Can we hear the splash before you sign off? Just put the phone down, and I want to hear the splash, and then we'll say sayonara.
Yeah, I hear that. So I have to actually go do some
just. All right.
Jump in the pool, you wimp. You can pee right in it.
Good
night.
Say goodnight to the podcast, Brett. Ah, the fucker hung up on us.
Okay, hold on, time out. I gotta pee.
All right.
So hey, we after Brett signed off, we took a quick pee break, added a couple logs to the fire, heard a duck go overhead, which is freaking awesome. We're having a lot of fun tonight. This is kind of cool, isn't it?
This is great.
It's freezing. What do you suppose the temperature is right now?
Maybe 50.
I'm freezing. I got my shorts and my hoodie on. And
Are you still in shorts, man?
Yeah, I'm freezing my balls off. Before we hit the Sublime, can I play you one song? The name of the band is, this is from my New York source, all right, Dave? I'm going to cut a song in on you quick, all right? Are we good to do that?
Absolutely.
All right, this is Angoraphobic Nosebleed. My guy, this is my Suburban Shocker. I'm just going to call him the Suburban Shocker from New York. He sent me this song and said, you need to play this. And I thought we need to play it because this is, I don't know, it's a night where we're sitting underneath the full moon. It feels good. We hear the crickets and the frogs and the ducks. So I'm going to play a song about the moon. This is called Two Shits to the Moon.
Two Shits to the Moon. Let's cue it up.
Two Shits to the Moon! You know, there's nothing that makes me feel better towards the outdoors than Two Shits to the Moon. What do you think, Dave?
I could hear that song again and again and again.
All right, so hey, Suburban Shocker, Mr. Speams, that one goes out to you. So anyways, now that we're back on the track, Two Shits to the Moon.
Is that the shortest song in the history of music?
Sir, let's take a look at that. That was about 14 seconds long.
No, it wasn't.
You think it was shorter than that?
Yeah, it was less than a second. I think it was like 5 seconds tops.
Oh, no, 5.5 seconds long. So what'd you bring again? We're going back to the Sublime.
Back in the day when we go camping, we'd always smoke some weed. So I got a nice weed-smoking song for you here. It's called Smoke Two Joints.
She was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male, and the other two, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes. Reefers.
Joints at night. I smoke two joints in the afternoon. It makes me feel alright.
think, Tony? Did you like that song?
Yeah, what did you say, for Christ's sake, Susan? For Christ's sake, Susan? What did he say?
Oh, at the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was,
For bejesus' sake, Susan, they're smoking marijuana cigarettes.
That's right,
that,
yeah.
There was a bit of hemp involved in that song, wasn't there? Now, was that off their super popular album, or was that off one of their previous albums?
No, that's one of their... I'm not sure if it came out before or after, but it's one of their less popular albums called 40 Ounces of Freedom.
Nice. Okay, so yeah. I guess with Brett, we kind of summed it up in that you're either in early and you're out when they get popular.
Well, like Brett said, this band, the guy died so damn early.
Well, yeah, this is a band that's hard to gauge it off of for sure because...
Right. So like What I Got became pretty damn popular.
Yep.
That was a really popular song. But it wasn't like U2 and Joshua Tree. It didn't get that kind of fame, you know?
But it would have launched them into that sort of fame had they been around.
Maybe.
Well, I guess there would have been an album after that, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
I will, in the future, try to withhold my reservations if I've been a bit music snobbish, because I like that song a lot. There's a lot of bubbling and cracking and good rhythms going on in that, and a little bit of distortion at the end. I think I liked Sublime.
Well, if you listen to that whole album, it's more like a lot of studio outtakes. You can tell they're just kind of sitting around and, you know, fucking around, basically.
Good call.
It's a good song. You know, I love the rock songs that have a reggae rhythm in the background. This is an overtly reggae song, but when you hear some of their popular songs, you'll hear kind of a reggae backbeat to the songs. You can tell that they had a lot of that in their background.
Yep, for sure. For sure. All right, so with that, should we, from the north woods of Minnesota or the western woods of Minnesota, should we take this thing out?
Yeah, dude, it's been really good. It's been really fun being out here in the fucking woods podcasting, man.
Yeah, from now on, we're going to have to record from the backyard. The microphone sounds good. The crickets sound awesome. Let's see if we get one more cricket. 5, 3, 2, 1.
There it is.
There's the cricket. All right. So, anyways, thank you for listening to Music to Swear By from the woods. Tony and Dave signing off. If you've got anything to email.
Let's not forget to thank Brett for calling in from North Carolina.
Yeah, Brett phoning it in for sure. Brett's famous for phoning it in. So, if you've got anything to say, just email it to musictoswearby@gmail.com. And until then, hey, pardon the profanity.
Cue it up, bitch.
When that shit is on, let me drop some shit like this here. At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark, visions of bodies being burned. Four walls just staring at a nigga. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always stressing I ain't living right, but I ain't going out without a fight. See, every time my eyes close, I start sweating and blood starts coming out my nose. It's somebody watching the act, but I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see him when I'm deep in the covers. When I awake, I don't see the motherfucker. He owns a black hat like I own, a black suit and a cane like my own. Some might say take a chill, B, but fuck that shit. There's a nigga trying to kill me. I'm popping in the clip when the wind blows. Every 20 seconds got me peeping out my window. Investigating the joint for traps. Taking my telephone for taps. I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's fucked up when your mind is playing tricks on you. Cars, everybody know me. It's like I'm a movie star, but late at night, something ain't right. I feel I'm being tailed by the same sucker's headlights. Is it that fool that I ran off the block? Or is it that nigga last week that I shot? Or is it the one I beat for $5,000? Thought he had cane, but it was gold, not a flower. Reached under my seat, grab a popper for the suckers. Ain't no use to me lying, I was scared than a motherfucker. Put the left in the Popeyes and bail out quick. If it's going down, let's get this shit over with. Here they come, just like I figured. I got my hand on the motherfucking trigger. When I saw him, make your ass start giggling. Three blind, crippling, crazy senior citizens. I live by the sword. I take my boys everywhere I go because I'm paranoid. I keep looking over my shoulder and peeping around corners.
My mind is playing tricks on me. Day by day it's more impossible to cope. I feel like I'm the one that's doing dope. Can't keep a steady hand because I'm nervous. Every Sunday morning I'm in service, praying for forgiveness and trying to find an exit out the business. I know the Lord is looking at me, but yet and still it's hard for me to feel happy. I often drift when I drive, having fatal thoughts of suicide. Bang and get it over with, and then I'm worry free, but that's bullshit. I got a little boy to look after, and if I die, then my child will be a bastard. I had a woman down with me, but to me it seemed like she was down to get me. She helped me out in this shit, but to me she was just another bitch. Now she's back with her mother. Now I'm realizing that I love her. Now I'm feeling lonely. My mind is playing tricks on me.